The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, sister?
Oh, I'm fabulous. Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to see you again.
What's been going on in the world? Tell me what's been going on in the world. And I guess what I want to start this conversation off with is you've had the great fortune of spending a lot of time with so many different people from around the world that have offered solutions for long-term sustainable health, how to think outside of the box, including yourself and your husband. And I was fascinated to start this conversation off with you today with your perception on where we are currently as a species, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, in the latter half of 2021. And is this all perfect? Is this chaos? Is it all? Take us on the journey of where you think we are now based on everything that you've learned and your wisdom that you've accumulated over the years, please.
Okay, great. What a good, big question. Let's see. Well, you're right. I mean, I'm in a super fortunate position. I've just had a chance to meet wonderful people from all over the world for decades and to do a deep enough dive, like to spend a lot of my life actually sort of pulling on the strings and trying to figure out what's going on so that what's happening and unfolding now isn't just catching me completely by surprise. I've had a chance to sort of hold a context and a picture for how something like this could be unfolding and what does it mean and the good and the bad of it all, you know, from my human perspective. And so we predicted, Foster and I, in Thrive One, our first film that came out about 11 years ago, we predicted actually what's happening now, because in fact it is predictive. If you know, take a certain look at what's happening, you can go, well, if we don't change it, it's likely to go here. And this is where we were headed, and it's unfolded. It's also unfolded. So the problem was predictive. The solutions are more vast than the problem. And those are sort of, beyond predictability, because innovation always precedes suppression. Suppression's just always trying to catch up with what popped up there in the human imagination. And so I'm encouraged to see how many bold, fabulous, diverse solutions there are emerging all over the planet, and how many people are waking up to the severity of the problem and to the importance of freedom, like just real freedom, basic level, not a subset of it, but the core of freedom. And that is giving me a lot of encouragement. And yeah, I mean, I feel like I was just talking to a friend of mine, this a fabulous shaman in Costa Rica, who has, so his former wife and daughter live in Australia. He's in Costa Rica. And the idea was that they would be getting together sometimes here in the US, sometimes Costa Rica, sometimes Australia. They'd be able to build, maintain a relationship across continents. And, you know, he was into crypto, and crypto was doing great. And there are all these big ideas about seeing each other. And then it turns out here we are in this lockdown, and the Australian government decided that family relations were not a substantial enough reason for his daughter to leave the country or for him to be allowed to enter. So here, this notion of economic freedom, so he had enough money to travel and get them all around, was superseded by a higher level freedom of who are we? Do we own our bodies? Are we allowed to move freely and to choose what we're doing? And that to me is kind of a just an example of what's happening, where the conversation of freedom at its deepest level is now emerging. And that brings with it everything from who are we? What does it mean to own one's body? What is sovereignty? What is medical freedom? How do all these, you know, how does consciousness and law and biology and all of it come together? And so the fact that we're here in these deeper conversations, I think, is really encouraging. And I think at the same time, the challenge is unprecedented in its global magnitude. And I mean, for me personally, I feel like I've had to up my game. I mean, I think we all do. I think we're all being called to be our best selves. And what does that mean? Like, how to not succumb to the stress and the fear, and how to not succumb, like, just the family dynamics and interpersonal dynamics. That's been a huge personal challenge in my life through all this, with, you know, being in probably the most, I don't know, one of the most advantageous positions imaginable, with all kinds of friends and allies and understandings and things at my fingertips. And yet within my own family, having hugely divergent worldviews and responses to what's going on. And it really challenged me to do a next level of work on bridging my consciousness and understanding of our oneness with my very bold and radical interpretations of what it is that's going on, and my concerns about overall health and well-being of from my kids to, you know, people all over the world. So so it's, I'm challenged, I'm encouraged, and I'm probably taken to a quieter place inside, where I notice that I'm being called upon, like I said, to be my best self. And what does that actually mean in the face of this kind of turmoil and suppression, and kind of every day something huge is going down?
Thank you so much. I want to ask you this question. It could be quite triggering. You've done, your life has been about understanding yourself
and peeling off the layers, if I can be so crude as to talk about peeling off layers to get to our core self. And I would say that I've been on this journey as well for quite some time, decades, to understand who I am. Yeah. And what troubles me, or what concerns me, is that what would it be like for somebody that has never really inquired about who they are in this period, and they find themselves in this period of time when they're locked down, they've lost their freedom as they once knew it, and we could define freedom. I'd love to define freedom a little bit later on with you. But because I know people that have, I know many people that the notion of looking into their fears or their insecurities or their deepest, darkest shadow, they wouldn't even understand that concept. And I know I don't want to generalize here, but I feel like you could add a little bit of beauty to this question is, how do you think they are going to go through this process? And do you think it was inevitable that the human species that has become disconnected to going in mm-hmm. over the decades or over centuries, because we've lost our connection to nature itself, how do you think this is going to unfold for them as a generalization?
Well, I think it's a really good question, and my personal sense of it is that, you know, there's when somebody, so my experience of going down the rabbit hole and pulling on the strings of, you know, how does money work? All of the stuff that we got into in our films, exposing a real consolidation of power and intentional suppression of people and our relationship with nature and ourselves, all that kind of stuff, involved my worldview shaking and coming undone and a complete redefinition of who I was. Because in order to even grasp how false and misguided the traditional teaching and acculturations around the world have been, I had to have some sense of myself that was beyond what my belief was, because my beliefs were changing left and right as I was getting exposed to new information and experiences. And as I've encountered people who are really intelligent, wonderful people who I can relate to in all kinds of ways, but when it comes to COVID and getting vaccinated and sort of going along with this narrative, at first I was just shocked, like, wait a minute, what are they thinking? What is happening? And what I think is happening is really based on what you're talking about, which is the capacity to have everything shake. Like, either there's some horrible virus and some good people are doing their best to help mitigate the problem and save us all from it, or there's something way more sinister going on that is actually worse news. And so if they're saying, I can't take that worst news, I don't have a sense of self that is strong enough or defined outside of my beliefs and worldview enough to handle that, then I believe them. You know, part of my compassionate acceptance and inclusion of people to make the choices that they're making at this time is that people are representing their level of self, like their definition of self. Who are they, and what can they handle about a story that's going to shake everything that they knew and believed and trusted and probably built their lives on. So I think for people to be going along with this is kind of an indication of something deeper about what level of disheartening, disturbing disruption to who we thought we were and what we thought we were doing and what we spent our lives on and all of that, that we can handle. And so I don't feel like going after people to change their minds. I feel like what they're telling me is they're not ready for that for whatever reason. And so how do we just begin with accepting that, knowing that we're each doing our best at any time? And it's a big deal. It's a really big deal to take on the level of nefarious intent that is behind the current agenda, as you and I would assess it. If that's not what you've sort of gradually been able to get yourself awake to. In the course of my education, I mean, I felt sick for weeks at various times over the decades as I learned sort of more and more about what was really going on. It wasn't just like, oh, wow, having this newfound clarity feels so good. You know, it was like, yeah, sometimes it felt good. And sometimes it was very disturbing and unsettling. And so I feel a lot of compassion for people and wherever they are in this process. And I actually think that's a big part of the disconnect that's happening right now, is the sort of righteousness that we're all inclined to feel as we make sense of what's happening and adopt our positions in relation to it, instead of knowing that actually we're each doing our best. We are each doing our best. Most people are not trying to do the wrong thing. They're trying to do what they think is best for themselves and probably others. And so if I can come at it from that, it really helps.
Yeah, it's interesting because I guess a lot of people that were listening and watching this will have friends or family that, as you said, believing in that narrative. And the people listening and watching this, I would presume the majority would be believing in another narrative. And I'm witnessing it on so many sides here, that there is sides. There's people saying, you must get vaccinated, hurry up and get vaccinated, just take one for the team, just do it. And the others are like, how can you not see what accepting that is going to do? Once you're in that system of, yes, I'll go along with the story, it's like these people over here are thinking, you're never going to get out of that. You've just submitted to the first shot, second shot, third shot, 10th shot, because now you're in that stream where some people are just sitting back going, they're on the bank of the stream going, I don't know whether I want to hop into that yet, because I actually don't know where that stream's going to take me. You know? Right. And I've come to the thought over the last week that, what if nobody knows where that stream, once you submit to that, is going to take anybody? What if there isn't anybody really pulling these strings, and it's just a manifestation of our current consciousness that this is manifested? And there's a big question mark over it all. And I'm not saying this is what's happening, because I do believe there are agendas at play. But I also have the curiosity of, has it all been designed? Is it all set in stone? Or is this, fuck, we've started this. Where's it actually going to go? Because we never thought so many people would jump into the stream. Now we have to contain this. I don't know. Every day I have these different ideas of the possibilities that are emerging. And when you look globally, you see Israel, you see different you see, I watch Florida, Texas, for instance, and they're steadfast against certain things, but then you've got different states in the United States which are wanting to go into that stream with everybody. And yeah, it's just, it's such a fascinating time that for me, I'm going to stand on the bank for as long as possible to see where is that stream taking those people? You know, is it to safe water? Is it a deadly waterfall like Niagara Falls, where everybody's going to go off the edge? You know, and I don't wish that for anybody, but it's like,
I mean, it's an experiment. An experiment means we don't know. It's never happened before. Globally, we've never been in this situation. And so nobody can know for sure. I think it's, for me personally, what this led me to was a look into what's the next level of what this could be about. Because when I saw COVID coming down and starting to, you know, be what we're going through now, I thought, gosh, we're just not going about this at solving a problem. You don't, like, since when is getting a second opinion practically illegal? Like, that was what, you know, in any other medical situation you go to, it's like, well, did you get a second opinion? Now a second opinion, you can't even find one. It's censored. It's irresponsible. It's all this kind of stuff. So it was like, what is this? And the string that I've pulled on and spent some time with, is the transhumanist agenda and the relationship of data, you know, which can sound really boring, but the notion of all of the information that's being gathered, biological information through endless tests and endless tests, along with, you know, the saliva test, the blood test, all the things that are part of our lives these days. And the agenda of people who, you know, Google's head of engineering, Kurzweil, that you've got billions and trillions of dollars among some of the most empowered, well-financed tech companies in the milieu of technocracy, which is simply having experts, self-defined experts, actually making decisions outside of their fields based on expertise. Like Bill Gates, he's a tech expert having huge impact on our medical health freedom issues and medical dictates. It's like, so how did that happen and what are the ramifications? And so I don't feel like I know the outcome of where the stream is going. I do feel like I have a pretty good picture of where some of the people involved at a very high level would like it to go. And that's, you know, so my worldview of it is that all of this, the communism, socialism, COVID interface of all of it is related to a transhumanist agenda. And that transhumanist agenda is, for anyone who's not kind of familiar with it, it's, you know, when artificial intelligence and human biology are interfaced such that human biology is augmented. And the goal of Kurzweil and some of these most powerful folks is that is called singularity, which is when the artificial intelligence would actually supersede the biological human, and we would become post-human and be basically an artificial intelligence species. And I kind of broke that down into a talk that we can link to in your show notes. It kind of takes it apart a little bit more than we could get into in this call. But the point of it for me is that this whole thing about sovereignty and freedom, and are we free to make our choices, whether those are to be vaccinated, not be vaccinated, to participate in AI augmentation in a way that we choose to get an artificial hip or brain link, right? I mean, these are all personal choices that have huge ramifications. And I think these are the ethical and practical decisions that are actually coming up. And we just need to be more aware of what all this is about and where does it lead. And so that's kind of what I've been focused on, along with just the personal stuff of maintaining relations and not allowing this to divide us in a way that I feel is, I mean, divide and conquer has been a, you know, mantra of oppressors for a long time. And I sort of set out to just say with my kids, and I'm not letting that happen. We are going to navigate through this, whether we, whether you're vaccinated and I'm not, or you believe this or I believe that, we're going to keep the connection. I refuse. I said, I refuse to get vaccinated and I refuse to let this tear my family apart. And so that's what kind of the level I've been working on, is looking at it in terms of technocracy and data collection and what this really means in terms of the fourth industrial revolution and the new economy and the great reset. Like, this is all part of one, you know, mosaic of configuration that's not disconnected. It just takes pulling back and having a view of it and then knowing, where am I in it? What's my purpose? What's my passion? What's my part in contributing? And just to round it back to what we're actually doing in relation to it for Foster and I, is we've made Thrive One sort of minimum sufficient understanding of the problem was our intention there, in order to have more leverage solutions. And then Thrive Two was really chronicling the solutions to say, look, we've got what it takes. Humans, we just got to figure out this relationship to authority, which lo and behold is kind of the question on the table now. Who are we and how much do we allow people to determine what we're allowed to do with our bodies? That's about as basic a relationship to authority is, do you have authority over your own body or not? Because if you don't, then we're in a whole new ball game and all of the hard-won freedoms around the world add up to nothing if you don't own your body. It's legalized rape, right? If you don't own your body. So, So getting at it in those ways led us now to say, okay, we did Thrive One, we did Thrive Two. Our thing is just to empower grassroots activists all over the world to do whatever it is that they're doing that helps empower freedom and autonomy and diverse responses. Because, like, we're saying it's an experiment. We don't know, but we know that innovation is going to be the solution. So people innovate, bring your purpose, bring your passion and innovate the solutions, whether they're economic, environmental, interpersonal, whatever it is, innovate and do your thing. So that's what our solutions hub is all about.
Yeah, because I feel that, and that was beautiful. Thank you. I feel that so many people have this, you know, and myself at certain times over the last year and a half, is what is the next step? What is the right way forward here? Is it my responsibility to share information, to help other people see something? Perhaps other people don't want to see something. You know, should I be more selfish? Should I be more community-minded? Should I be looking after my family first? Should I be outspoken? All of these questions, and I'll be honest, every day the questions aren't getting louder, because I've been asking these questions over and over and coming to my own solutions for my own sanity and for my own well-being. I've worn the hat of the person on the side of the street yelling at everybody, like, wake up if you can't see that the avalanche is coming. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, well, I've done that. Now I'm going to try something different and see how all of these feel. And it's really interesting. Now I'm in a very, I don't want to say neutral space, but at peace more than I have been over the last year and a half, because I've come to the realization that one person can't change the world. That was a big pill for me to swallow, because I felt like I had some influence out there in the world. And it doesn't mean that I still don't share information. It's just that I'm coming about it from a different point of view, not so self-righteous and angry anymore, and I don't want to be right.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.